Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, December 10th, 2019. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 74 in the Big Book in the chapter Into Action. We're going to unpack paragraph 1 today, which starts with notwithstanding the great necessity, and then ends at the top of 75 with mere excuse to postpone. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Malky G, the 12 Traditions, Clara G. Reading the text today in support is Sandy D, Kara L, Lisa J.R. Greeting the newcomers and getting sponsor contact information after the recording is Wendy B. And then Leslie M. is going to give you some announcements here because there's always something precious going on here at A Vision for You. The share ID numbers for yesterday, Monday, December 9th, 2019, the 10 a.m. meeting is 13782, 13,782. And then the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting that happened already this morning, that would be December 10th, 2019, is 13787, 13,787. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Malky G. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Melanie and everyone on the line. I am Malky G. from New Jersey. I am so grateful to be of service. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Malky G. I will now ask Clara G. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Clara G. I'm a compulsive overeater. The 12th tradition. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop drinking. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other OA groups as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholics who still suffers. 6, an OA group will never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or side enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such will never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, OA has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to serve.
Thank you, Clara G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Please exercise the star 1 key function as your muting option only, please. Today we resume the study of the Big Book in the chapter Into Action. We're going to be on page 74, unpacking paragraph 2 today, and it starts with, notwithstanding the great necessity, and ends at the top of 75 with, mere excuse to postpone. And I'm going to ask Sandy D. to please read that paragraph and unpack it for us with her share for 3 minutes before we open it up to the general public. Hi, Sandy. Good morning to you.
Hi, this is Sandy D. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, madam. We'll let you know.
Okay, thank you. This is Sandy D., recovered in Illinois by God's grace and mercy. Thanks, Melanie, for your service. Notwithstanding the great necessity for discussing ourselves with someone, it may be one is so situated that there is no suitable person available. If that is so, this step may be postponed. Only, however, if we hold ourselves in complete readiness to go through with it at the first opportunity. We say this because we are very anxious that we talk to the right person. It is important that he be able to keep a confidence, that he fully understand and approve what we are driving at, that he will not try to change our plan, but we must not use this as a mere excuse to postpone. Yeah, you know, I came into 12-step 4 years ago, and at that time, I was not ready to do any fourth step with anyone but a therapist. And, you know, I tried to do that as a writing my life story, and that didn't work out so good because I got stuck in steps 6 and 7 for almost a year because I was unwilling to let go of those character defects. And what I've learned through coming into OA just a little over 2 years ago was, hey, I'm the addict, and what I need to do is uncover, discover, and discard. So when I came in and I finally did a fourth step inventory according to the Big Book, I did it completely different. And I did meet that sponsor who was able to keep a confidence, fully understand, and improve what I was driving at. It just made such a difference to me to be able to not be the perpetual victim, because that's what kept me stuck in my character defects, being the victim, and not understanding that step four is about really seeing what those defects are and moving on from that and being able to let go of it and clear out that channel so that I can have a peaceful, serene life. My life is just amazing compared to what it was 4 years ago. And it just, this is such a blessing. Thank you all. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sandy D. The lines are now open for others to comment on paragraph 2, page 74 of your big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I can grab it up.
Lisa Wendy J. B.
Lisa J.R., Wendy B.
Shlomit Hanna B.
Shlomit Hanna, Bruce.
Elaine B.
Elaine B.
Leia S.
Leia S. That'll give me my six. Thanks, Leia. Okay, this is what I have. Lisa J.R., Wendy B., Shlomit Hanna B., Bruce E., Elaine B., and Leia S. Hi, Lisa. You're three.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Lisa J.R., gratefully recovered for today by God's grace. I was a loophole looker. I was always looking for a way to identify out. And although I had resigned myself to the fact that, you know, my way wasn't working when I got here, I kind of chuckled because, you know, I when I got to this paragraph with my sponsor and we were reading it, when I read, this step may be postponed, I was like, ding, 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 you know, but of course I had to jerk myself back into reality. So, you know, it's important that he fully understand and approve at what we are driving at. And it's been my experience, having had a lot of therapy in my life, that a lot of counsel, that unless someone is acquainted with this process, it's probably not a good idea. Even the most well-meaning pastor, the most well-meaning, they have prejudice, contempt prior to investigation, many of them. And I had a good reminder of that. I'm part of a breast cancer study at Johns Hopkins, and, you know, they had my eating history. They know my history, that I have been an exercise bulimic and a binge eater. And still, you know, I get that suggestion. Well, you know, why don't you start jogging? And I'm like, do you not see the dossier you people have on me that's about 2 feet thick? So working with these kind of people, as well-meaning as they are, probably isn't too wise. You're better off, and with the phone and technology today, we certainly can connect with people that we have no fear of losing our anonymity, no fear of talking to somebody across the country that we have cultivated. By the time we get to that fifth step, we've cultivated this relationship with, this closeness. And, you know, it makes the process so much easier. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. Wendy B., your 3 minutes start now, and then Shlomit Hanna will come in after you.
Hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona, and I recently did a four-step on my husband, you know, looking at all the issues around him not being who I want him to be and my wanting to change him. And I was able to see, you know, all my underlying fears, you know, of my resentments that what I have, you know, what my husband provides isn't enough, and that I keep looking to my husband to meet my needs instead of relying on God, and my fear that God isn't enough, you know, that I want more, you know, that I want my needs met in specific ways instead of the way God provides. And you know, basically that I want to play God. And, you know, what God gave me was a sponsor who so closely identified with my struggle in her own marriage that it was like we were doing the work together. And it was so beautiful, you know, an example of God meeting a need I didn't even know I had, you know, to be so closely identified on a deep heart issues, you know, with a fellow, you know, and the promise that God will show you how to create the fellowship you crave, you know, and that he will provide the right person to share with is an amazing gift of working this program. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Wendy B. Shlomit Hanna, your 3 minutes, and then Bruce will come in after you.
Thank you so much to the moderator and to everybody on this line. I'm walking outside, so it might be a little bit of background noise, so that's nice. I am so grateful to be on this meeting, and the words that popped out to me in that paragraph, the concept was finding the right person, the right one. And it actually made me think about sponsorship, because that's where I am right now. I've done many, many, many fourth and fifth steps. And thank God, it's always been a wonderful process. I've never had a negative process at all. It's always been so growing and amazing to do that. And I'm looking forward to doing it again. But for where I am right now, it's especially apropos thinking about sponsorship, because I am just coming back from relapse. And I'm in the process. Oh, sorry, somebody just honked. I'm in the process of finding the sponsor that will really help guide me back into recovery. And I'm working with somebody now who I really very much want to work with. And, you know, we're taking it for a few weeks to see how it works out for both of us. And I think that for me, I have to just put down that fear of not having what I need and really, really trust that God is going to give me the right person to work with, whether it's this person or another person. Because it absolutely, 100% was God that brought me back into program. So I know that at the end of the day, it really is God who's pulling the strings. And one thing I do want to say about the fifth step, something that I was taught when I did a big book step study that I thought was the most beautiful concept, is when I was going over my fifth step in that workshop, she said that you put out a chair, an empty chair, and you just keep it there because that's the chair for God. And it's a visual reminder that we're giving this over to another human being, but that really that person is a messenger to help give it over to God. That really we're giving our fifth step over to God. And I never forgot that. And it was a wonderful reminder to just, you know, think about when I was doing my fourth step, that God is in the room and he's listening. And I have to say that time. In every aspect of my life, God is listening. Thank you.
Thanks, Shlomit Hanna. Bruce E., your 3 minutes start now, and then Elaine B. will come in after you.
Okay, that's me. I'm Bruce E. I'm recovering in Southwest Florida. Thank you, everybody. That he fully understand and approve what we are driving at. That he will not try to change our plan. Now, I think that's very, very important, because we can easily, if we pick the wrong person to be sharing these fourth steps, fifth steps, and 10 steps with, that we pick the right person. So I'm really accumulating or assembling I should say, a group of a God Squad group that I can share the 10 steps with. I think I'm got some really good people I can do that with now, but they're not going to try to change my plan. They're not going to say, I got a better way of doing this. You don't have to do all that 12-step stuff. You know, you need to get out of that. You know, that doesn't have God in it, or that doesn't mention a specific God. You know, let's get in another program that mentions a specific God, you know. So I got to be careful that somebody doesn't try to change my plan. And I've had people that have really tried to change, try to derail my plan and have me do something else when I knew that this stuff was working. And I even had one guy that I shared a 10-step with once called me back on the phone and told me, you know, after I shared it, that, you know, I had, you know, I was off track, way off, trying to do something like that. And I shouldn't do that. Should just share it with God and myself and not share it with other people. So anyway, he just didn't understand the 12-step program. And there's a lot of people out there. Unless you're really in a 12-step program and practicing it, you're not going to understand it. Originally, when I did this fourth, fifth step, we wrote a history of our lives. That's the way we did it. And where I think that fell short was, and I did a lot of those, and I heard other people do it, and I asked other people to do it and stuff like that. And I still do to some extent, but we also do it the big books way, you know. But here's the deal. If we write a history of our life and sit around and share it with somebody, am I mostly sharing just the problem? You know, here's the history of my life. You know, I overate. I did this. This happened to me. I was victimized. I victimized. You know, I'm just sharing the problem. You know, I'm not sharing the solution. And I think the solution comes out when we do these about where am I to blame on this? Where did I fall short? Where am I selfish? Where am I dishonest? Where am I fearful? You know, where, thank you. And that comes out, and that brings about great healing. So I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce E. Elaine B., your 3 minutes now. Leah S. will come in after you, and then after Leah, we'll have time for other folks to comment on paragraph 2, page 74. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, Melanie C. Thank you so much for your faithful service. Really appreciate it. You know, this is a challenge. You know, here we are. I hear a lot of people say they're afraid of doing their fourth step, but I think what they're really afraid of is doing their fifth step, sharing it with somebody else. You know, I think of terms from the big book, self-revealing, you know, rigorously honest, going to any lengths, and honesty, openness, and willingness. It's like, I don't know, is it like jumping off a cliff? It's walking through a new door. It's another way of being able to truly be honest and rigorous, but to trust. So, of course, we want to be so careful about who we choose to do this with. And I remember the first fifth step that I did. I chose somebody that I had done some sort of ministry work with, who had heard it all, the kind of stuff that we were working with. You know, we thought we had heard it all. And it was great to just be able to sit down and sort of unload from, you know, the steps as I had understood them so far. However, I didn't get recovered in that time through. And so we get to come back. We get to keep coming back and doing the steps and practicing these principles in all our affairs and growing deeper and doing more. And by the time I finally did get recovered, the sponsor that my, the guide that my higher power had directed me to had, you know, heard some of my story, had shared some of her story. There was that relationship. There was that safety. And, you know, at the time this book came out, there were not people around. We didn't have the type of community that we are so privileged to enjoy on A Vision for You. And though it doesn't need to be your sponsor, it is so helpful to have somebody who really understands what we're doing here and that won't try to change our plan. And to be honest with you, we don't know when that spiritual awakening is going to happen. It's supposed to happen. It will happen by step 10. But and we'll get the promises halfway through step nine. But I got my spiritual awakening sufficient to bring about recovery, where I began to enjoy a daily reprieve from compulsive overeating during my fifth step, during the pattern that I saw and some feedback that my sponsor gave me. Not everybody gives feedback, but she did, and I'm so glad she did, because I was rocketed into a fourth dimension, and I'm enjoying a life second to none. So please don't fear the fourth. Please don't fear the fifth. Just trust God to lead you to the right person and join us on this happy road. And I pass.
Thank you, Elaine B. It's now time for Leah S. to share for 3 minutes, and then after Leah S., we're going to open it up for a few more people to comment. Paragraph 2, page 74 in your big book. So you might want to read ahead and get ready for that. In the meantime, let's listen to Leah S. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you so much. Leah S. recovered in Brooklyn. Very grateful today. I'm going to read just a little bit and part of a sentence. However, if we hold ourselves in complete readiness to go through with it at the first opportunity, it brings me back into step one, where I was so in chaos. I was so precisely this anxiety. You know, even I used to listen to the meetings on page 84, the feeling of insecurity and the feeling of fear of people and places and whatever, that's going to leave us. And I realized, as my sponsors pointed out to me, that's precisely what you're going to get rid of. And I just couldn't understand how it was going to happen, but I needed to follow through. And instead of waiting about this whole thing, because the moment was right, I was living with this anxiety. I can't live with that. I can't white-knuckle my abstinence. I cannot make believe in my relationships, because my heart is not there. And so I just went right ahead and called the next first person that I had known, and I felt that I could trust, and I just did it. And it was the most amazing experience. It really was, because this sponsor just took me through 5, 6, and 7 and ripened me up to want to do step 8 and 9. And with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Leah. That's Leah S. Okay, the lines are open now to take additional names to comment on paragraph 2, page 74. First name and first initial of your last name, please.
Carla M.
I hear Carla. And I hear Marcella.
And I hear Laura R.
And I hear Laura R.
From New Jersey.
Okay, that's my limit, I think, right there. So let's see what I got.
I have Carla N. I have Marcella M. I have Sarit L. I have Laura R. And I have Santa H. Okay, so let's get going with that last batch here. Carla N., you're first, then Marcella will come in after. Hi, Carla.
Hi, I'm Carla N. from California. Can I be heard?
You sure can. I'll let you know.
Great, thank you. This paragraph reminds me that, you know, the first time I was faced with my fourth step and was doing it, I was aware that I had done many partial fourth steps in my life. I had done column 1, column 2, and column 3. In therapy, with friends, I had been very focused on who I was resentful at. I was very focused on the cause, and boy, that cause got really elaborate. And I was also very focused on how it affected me. And I realized when I did my first fifth step, and now I've done many, that that last column is really, really important. And choosing a person who can take me to the other side, who can take me, like my sponsor said, across the bridge, away from what they've done to me, and really focus on my part. Boy, that's a gift. And that's not something that most people are trained to do. You know, I've had many, many confidants and good friends over the years who really helped me nurse those first three columns. I didn't know that they were first, you know, the first three columns, but they really helped me. They really focused on fanning that flame of how I was wronged. And boy, an understanding person is really going to help me take it, you know, go to the other side and help me, you know, access my higher power's will for me, which is not to nurse those resentments. It's to go to that other side and see my part and then ultimately be free. And so with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carla N. Marcella M., your turn, and then Sarit L. will come in after you.
Thank you. Thank you, Melanie. I'm so lucky to be live with you guys. So listening to you and reading the paragraph, I'm thinking of the privilege of receiving a fifth step that I have been granted with people in English and in Spanish, and making myself a suitable person. Sometimes my sponsor tells me, can we go through the steps again through the book? And the reason that most efficient way to going again through the steps that I have found is going again with my sponsees. And every time that I receive a fifth step, I found something inside of myself that I haven't visited before. And the beauty of the fifth step to me, the way that I have experienced it, is that it opens the gates of the possibility of redemption. Because God knows that I know how to be tormented and guilty and ashamed and in deep despair, right? But if I am willing to share and discuss my defects of character with another person, and then we go through the rest of the steps, 6, 7, 8, and then I get to 9, then when I get to 9, we know, because it says in the big book that there are innumerable ways to make amends. It's opened the door to the possibility of redemption. Literally rewriting the story of the rest of my life. And why do I do it? Because I'm an outstanding citizen or a devoted person? No, it is because I don't want to eat compulsively again, ever again. I want to be done for real. That's the reason why, because I don't want to go to the hell of being hungry and overweight and hungry and starving and overweight and enslaved to my thoughts. I'm fat, I'm hungry, I'm stuck. And that's what I wanted to tell you guys. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Marcella M. Sarit L., your 3 minutes, and then Laura L. will come in after you.
Hi, it's Sarit L. from Montreal. Thank you so much, Melanie, for your service. So I wanted to share on 2 different points. The first one Marcella touched on, interestingly enough, it says we must not use this as a mere excuse to postpone. And a mere excuse seems just like a trivial excuse, and any excuse to pick up the food, you know, was a lame excuse in comparison to the consequences that would come as a result of picking up the food. And so why would I want to do a fifth step? The book tells me that the first reason is, and the most important reason, is that I will go back to the food. If I don't tell someone else all of my story, I will go back and eat. And that is the real reason why I am doing this fifth step. So I have no right to give any excuses to postpone this step if I want to live a happy, free life from food. And what I'm learning is that any excuse I had was just plain insanity, and that's the mental obsession. That's the twist of the mind. It is a lame excuse. That's insane. That's the mental obsession. That's the definition of a mental phenomena. It's something we can't understand. It keeps sending us back to do something that we know time and time again has proven the most horrible thing for us. And so it's a mere excuse, and I will not postpone that. And so that's why, in my experience doing these steps a few times, the fifth step I've done many times, I've done it in the hospital after having had a baby. I've done it with a sponsor the day my parents arrived to see me. I ran away and I hid in the park watching my own kids, and gave over a fifth step. And, you know, I've had so many times where I could have given excuses, and yet all excuses are mere excuses in comparison to the life back in the food. I don't want that life. And so am I willing to go to any length today to do a 10 step? You know, that is a mini fourth and fifth, you know, through nine. Can I do that today regardless of the kids, the job, the spouse, the work, the laundry? Can I do that? How free do I want to be? And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Sarita. Laura R., you're next, and then Santa H. will follow you.
Good morning. This is Laura R., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater out in Greeley, Colorado. So grateful to be on the line and so grateful to be just a recovered woman in these rooms. Thank you, God, for bringing me here. That's not the case. When I first, before I got into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, I was so pissed that I was a compulsive overeater. But I was like, wow, we get to do this work and not give up. And I was just thinking about the first time I walked into the rooms and the pain of how I was living basically outweighed the fear of sharing my story with someone else. And I had so much shame coming into the rooms. Like I felt so low, and I felt so unique that I was the most disgusting person in the whole wide world. Because that's what my disease was telling me. You're worth nothing. You're disgusting. What you did was horrible. You know, all these things just over and over and over. And I ate and drank and smoked and did more and more because of that thinking. I just couldn't handle it. And my disease like drove me into doing things that I just were incomprehensible. But what's so amazing is thank God, you know, that we have these steps, and thank God that there's people like you out there that we get to say me too. Not only do we suffer from the same problem, but we have the same solution, but we also have a God, and we also get to say, you know what, me too, but guess what? Here is how I overcame that. And by sharing my story with someone, and again, I think the first fourth step I ever told anyone and did on the fifth was by far the scariest thing I ever had to do, because what I had to share in that moment was so incredible. I never thought I would have to share with anyone, and I did it. And she just said, you know what? You're not that, like, yeah, like, look what I did. I'm like, oh, wow. The vulnerability, the connection, the honesty, like I've never experienced that in anywhere in life. Everything I did was about stuffing and hiding and dishonesty because I was too afraid of posting like what I really look like out to you. You know, we see on Facebook all the time, like everyone's perfect, everyone's happy. But the bottom line is people, it's hard. And because like life is hard. And what's so beautiful is in these rooms, we get to get honest with one another and then help each other. And then, you know, uncover, discover, discard, and then ask God to remove with God's help that we can start to change. Wow. Like it is so cool. My husband, it's so funny. He sometimes says, hey, babe, know your audience, because I'm very like open and I want to get in and want to get to know you. But a lot of people aren't like that. And we are so lucky that we do have a place to come to talk one compulsive overeater to another, get honest with each other. So if you're new and you're scared, yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Thank you. Guess what? You know, you're not alone. We've all been to that first time we've done it. Just trust. And, you know, what used to be a flimsy reed proves to be the loving hand of God, and fall into that. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura R. We're going to move to having Santa H. share her 3 minutes, but before then, I wanted to let you all know it looks like we're going to have time for a few more people to comment on paragraph 2, page 74 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you want to read ahead and get a chance to get in the last 2 or 3 shares, that would be great. I'd love to hear it. Santa H., good morning.
Good morning, Melanie, and thank you so much for your continued service. And good morning to my fellows as well. And thank you, Team Monday, for your service also. Wow, I'm sitting here listening to the great shares, and it just reminds me of coming into the rooms back in 2013. And I came in for the vanity, and I had no idea about the steps. I had no idea about what the fourth step or fifth step was. And when I realized what it entailed, and from reading the book on my own, yeah, I was also looking for a way to postpone doing this with the Recovery Guide. So I went ahead
And I did this with my minister, who so happened to be a psychologist. And I also did it with my therapist. And it didn't work. It did not work because they did not understand the process that I was driving at. They didn't understand how to really look at the thread of what I learned later, the thread of my character defects. And so when I finally had the courage, I got a recover guide, and I went through this process. I was petrified. I was scared. I don't know if I was more scared the fourth step or the fifth step, but it was that initial first time that was scary. But when I got through the fifth step with her, I felt that I had such an awakening that all the therapy that I had over the years could not do what happened so instantaneously in just one phone call with her. It was amazing. And since then, I've been doing fifth steps with no problem, you know, today. And I do them every day. I have a 10-step partner that I do my 10-step every day with. I have a community that I can reach out to immediately when I need to do a 10-step with something that came up. And it is just a wonderful, wonderful experience. Like someone said, we are so blessed to have this community of a vision for you that when I reach out, someone is always there to do a fifth step with me. And I'm so grateful today that I get an opportunity to be a sponsor of 12-step guide myself, where I can take my podiatrists through this process. And it is such a joy and such an honor and such a privilege that someone today can trust me that much to be able to share their deep, dark secrets with me and to see them. Can't wait to get into step 9 to make their amends, because they obviously see their part in it all. And any newcomers that are out there, just take that leap of faith, and your higher power will guide you, and you will be amazed before you're halfway Time. Through. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Santa H. Let's take two more folks. I think the time will allow it, that wants to comment on paragraph 2, page 74.
Terry F.
Daniel C.
Terry F. and Daniel. Hi, Terry. You go first, then Daniel will come in after you.
Thank you for your service, Melanie. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon. Good morning. And what I'd like to share about step 5 is we do have to consider, I had to consider who I was going to do this with. I've done many, many fourth steps over the decades of being in and out of program. And it wasn't until I started doing it by the big book format and adding that fourth step, the fourth column, that it really began to make changes. I spent many fifth steps in therapist office, and the workbook with all of the questions, and none of them ever pointed what was my part. It left out a huge piece of healing, and I didn't realize that until the last couple of years when I started being instructed to add that fourth column. So it's made a remarkable difference for me. Even though it's painful to look at what is my part, where did I start the ball rolling, it's what God has used for my healing. And the other piece I wanted to talk about is what an absolute privilege it has been for me to listen to people give me their fourth step. When I sit, I've always done it in face-to-face. I haven't done it on the phone yet. But when I've sat and I've looked in people's faces and I see their fear as they're starting to talk about their fourth step and they're reading it and their voice is trembling, I am overwhelmed with such a feeling of compassion and love. That is such a privilege, and I know that this comes from my higher power. It opens my heart to hear them share. So It's a really vital step as we are going along our path of recovery, and I encourage everyone to let go of the fear and just step out and, no pun intended, step out and do it. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Terry. Now we're looking for Daniel. Daniel, your 3 minutes, please. Want to press star one, Daniel, to give you your full 3 minutes?
Hi, sorry about that. Thanks, Melanie. This is Daniel C. in Canada. I've been fortunate to find a sponsor through this Vision for You Fellowship that I was able to feel comfortable enough to go through my fifth step with. And before that, I had done it a number of times with various different people, and I think there was value in all of the times that I've done it. But there was something a little bit different, I think, about this time. I was able to go a little bit deeper and talk about things that I hadn't talked about previously, and I feel just a lot of gratitude that I've been able to dig into and get really honest about the things that are blocking me from my higher power. And somebody previously shared about shame, and just the shame was that I was carrying around was giving me an excuse to keep going back to the food. So I'm grateful that in talking with somebody else about that, I've been able to find sort of some relief from that, and to lift that burden. So I'm very grateful. Anyways, with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Daniel. Looking at the time, we might have time for, a 1 minute, 1 minute and a half share, but I'm going to take the liberty, if you don't mind, and stop the meeting at this particular level so that we perhaps can get more sponsors and more newcomer names later, since that time is so, so limited. I hope that you all agree with me on that. And so in the meantime, let's wrap up this particular meeting, and thank you so much for everyone that was of service here on Team Tuesday. It takes all of us to make this meeting as smooth as it is. The noises and all that kind of stuff are not handled alone. Lovely, clean, clear meeting and deep shares. Let's close this recorded meeting out by having Kara L. read page 164 in the big book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we'll all say the Serenity Prayer together, if you would like, as we then transition to the last part of our meeting. Good morning, Kara. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.